We live with a higher purpose. This is Dr. Herbert L. Barley, Dean of the University of Healing here in Campo, California, with a thought for today. We live with a higher purpose. Now, what kind of a higher purpose do we have? What kind of a higher purpose are we living for? Most of us have no idea. We have no idea what the higher purpose is that we're living for because we're living on the lower purpose. We're living on the everyday activities. We're living on the everyday thoughts. We're living on the everyday illusions of what's going on in the world. And we think that that is so important. We think it's so important to be nice to our neighbor, so important to be honest, so important to be friendly, so important to be considerate in all these things. We think that's so important. And that's the last thing in the world that's important. What is our higher purpose? What is what's most important? And what's most important is for us to like ourselves. We think that that's not very good, to like yourself. We've been taught we shouldn't like ourselves. All of our lives we've been taught that we shouldn't like ourselves. All of our lives we've been taught that we should do for others first. Well, if we don't do for ourselves first, if we don't first polish our own glass, I might even say polish our own glasses. If we don't first polish our own glasses, we're going to look outside at the world and we're going to see it with all the cloudiness and all the smudge and all the dirt that has accumulated just being around. I drove the tractor yesterday. And in driving the tractor, I had gone through dirt and bushes. And the bushes had waved at me and thrown their leaves on top of me as I went by close to the bushes. And when I came in the house later, Ellen looked at me and she says, "What's all that dirt all over you?" And of course, I've been driving the tractor for 2.5 hours and you sort of accumulate a little dust in the process. And I didn't give it a thought. And truly, we don't give a thought to the fact that we accumulate dust and dirt, that while we're doing one thing, other things are happening. Other things are happening in our lives that are causing us to have a cloudy viewpoint of what's going on in the world. We forget our higher purpose. We forget the higher purpose is to be ourselves and have fun. Is to like yourself. Now, some of us, when we say like yourself and do whatever pleases you and do be yourself and have fun, sit down on the table. Ingeborg is sitting here at the table and she decides, well, let's see, there's nothing to do but listen to Herb, so I'm going to take all my cutlery and put it up on my dishes and I'm going to pack my dishes and do these things. And you don't do that. We don't do that because that makes noise on the tape here. And of course, the noise that I've just made on the tape, telling them what noise you were making that they couldn't hear, is probably much more noisy than anything. But I like myself. I like myself. I want to be heard. And anyone who doesn't want to listen to me, whose attention is drawn away to stacking the plates on the table and piling up their cutlery and seeing what the kittens are doing or the dogs are doing, it makes me think, well, it's best if I don't give a talk in public. I should give a talk in private. And then I have no distractions of people around me doing things that show how much they don't like themselves. Now, if you really like yourself, you are not going to create in your world any circumstances contrary to liking yourself. Now, if you really like yourself, you're not going to create me giving a talk when it is not your desire to have me give a talk. You're going to be away. Now, as I was getting ready to give the talk this morning, Ellen starts wandering around the house, and she starts looking here and there and seeing what the kittens are doing and seeing what's going on here and there. And I'm waiting and waiting for her to come back to the table. Just before she left, Sylvia said, well, have you started your talk yet? Because she saw me put my instrument out here. And I said, not yet, you know. But Ellen should have known that I was just about ready to give the talk, which she didn't know, because you were not after your higher purpose. Now, you say, the highest purpose is to listen to you, Herb? Well, yes, I think that that probably is the highest purpose and the good purpose, and that's just the way it is. Now, what is our highest purpose? Our highest purpose is to be ourself and have fun. Now, is it being yourself and having fun to take your concentration and put it on anything at all? Or is it being yourself and having fun to take your concentration and go to sleep? Not have your concentration on anything. And if you don't have your concentration on anything, what happens to you?
Nothing.
What happens to you is you go nowhere quickly. And that's not what you want to do. Now, as I was saying before, starting to say, we have a tendency, when people say, be yourself and have fun, that we can do everything we want to do. We can pick our nose in public, you know. We can scratch ourselves, and we can do all sorts of things, and we can cough, and we can sneeze into the food if nobody's around to see it, that we're doing it. And we pull up our blouse and we sneeze down inside of our blouse, and boy, what a dirty thing that is. That is just so dirty. You have a handkerchief for that. You use your handkerchief. And rather than that, you even leave the table if you have to sneeze so badly. Now, I sneezed badly the other day when you were trying to tell me it was baritone and it was tenor and there's all sorts of things like that. So now, I shouldn't have done it. I should have left the table, and I should have sneezed in the bathroom or somewhere else. But the thing is, when you're being yourself and having fun, you just, you don't care about anything at all. Well, now, in truth, do I love you, each one? And I do. Now, if I loved you, each one, then I would respect you, each one. And I would respect what you think should be done. Now, if Ingeborg is talking to me, I am not going to pile my dishes up in front of me on my plate here and distract me and everybody else from listening to Ingeborg talk. I'm going to give Ingeborg my 100% attention because I want to hear what she has to say. I'm being myself and having fun. Being myself is that I want to hear what is being done. I want to know. If I don't know, I will be blind. Very, very blind to all the dust that's settling on my lens, all the dirt that's settling on me that I don't even know about. Now, when it came time for me to take my shirt off, after driving the tractor through the bushes and through the hinterlands here for 2.5 hours, I took my shirt off and I remembered what Ellen said, that there was dust on it. So I looked at my shirt on all sides and there's no dust. Mm-hmm. Because, I mean, it got shook off in the between time, and Ellen brushed off whatever she saw. But it never bothered me. But it wasn't there. At least I took notice of it, and I shook my shirt. And as I shook my shirt, there's not a thing that left the shirt. Everything was the fabric of the shirt. Now, being yourself and having fun does not mean that you can disallow your vows. It does not mean that you can make a commitment and not carry it out. If you make a commitment and you don't carry it out, then you are messing yourself up. You're not being yourself and having fun. You don't like yourself for not doing what you said you were going to do. Now, we here at the monastery, we take commitments and we say we will do this and do that and do the other thing. And then when it comes time to do it, then it's not always our pleasure. We have other things in mind. We think, why should I have to bother doing that? Why should that be something that I have to do? And when we ask ourselves such questions, then that means that we have broken our commitment, which is okay. We can break our commitment and we can completely ignore it and go away, but we have to do it definitely. And if we ignore our commitment, so too all other aspects of the commitment are lost. For instance, you say you want to become a monk, and you want to become a monk because you want to study and learn your inner path of your spiritual self. You want to read and study and have time for that, and you want a place where you can do that, and so the monastery is certainly a good place for it. But you forget that your commitment as a monk is to other things. You have agreed to be the gardener. You have agreed to be the caretaker. You have agreed to be the typesetter. You have agreed to be the 101 other things that we do here. And if you don't do what you've agreed to do, then all of your spiritual studies and spiritual growth is for nothing. Now, we talked to someone yesterday, and they were having some difficulty. And they were having some difficulty with the world not performing as they wanted it to perform. And so they were very unhappy, very unhappy. It's them, it's them, it's them. You know how that goes. And so the person was blaming everybody on the outside for their world. And then they wrote me a letter and said, they didn't write me a letter, I wrote them a letter. But I heard their message, and they were saying that they didn't know, they were at their wits' ends as to how to handle life, you know. And so I just said to them, first, you have to decide who you are, to be yourself and have fun. Now, if you don't know what you want, you can't have it. Mm-hmm. Now, if you know what you want, then you can have it. Now, if you want, for instance, to get married, what sort of person are you going to marry? What sort of person are you? Are you a dominant, domineering, predominant person who runs the show? And if you're a husband or wife, then you'll be that. You'll be running the show, and then your wife will be what? Docile. She will be under you, or your husband will be under you. Whatever the case may be. And is there a person in this world who would marry you under those conditions? Now, if you don't tell them these conditions, if they don't, you don't get these conditions across, then there's going to be misunderstanding. There's going to be misunderstanding because they won't know what the game is. Now, I've married lots of people over the years. And always in my premarital discussion with the people, I tried to get them to find out who's going to be the boss. Oh, we're going to cooperatively share, you know, equal, equal. I said, no, you aren't. I said, you are a dominant person in thinking and talking and acting and doing. And you are a docile person in thinking and talking and acting and doing. You don't really care what they want done. You're going to do what you want to do regardless. But you're not going to make a big fuss about it. You're just going to do it. You're just going to be a pain in the butt. And I said, that's not going to make for a long-lasting, happy marriage. If you understand right away in the beginning that you're going to think together on things and you're going to allow each other the freedom to live as you see fit to live, with the freedom to be yourself and have fun, so to speak, you know, okay. But if you've got to do what I'm telling you to do because I'm telling you to do it, and so the other person may not agree to that. They may not think that's too cool. But you have never come across quite that domineering in your lovemaking. Not quite that domineering in your premarital relationship. Where, oh, she's just the sweetest girl in the world. She's the sweetest. Oh, so she's so wonderful. She's the one. And he is just the king of the roost. He's just fantastic. He's glorious. It's, oh, he's so wonderful. He's so wonderful. He's so wonderful. And then as soon as you got the rings on your fingers or in your nose, wherever it is, and as soon as you got that ring there, then right away I can change them. He can change her and she can change him. And this doesn't work. If they had, in the beginning, done one thing, figured out why they want to get married, if it's just for sex, if it's just for having someone to keep, warm your bed, If it's just have someone take care of your house or make a living to so that you can take care of the house or what you want to do, you got the wrong reasons. Because everyone wants to be themselves. Everyone wants to live within themselves. Everyone wants to be who they are. And you cannot be who you are if you're going to let a lord and master, that could be a woman or a man, you let a lord and master have it control over you. Now, if you can be a docile person, docile, being yourself and having fun and being untouched by the demands of another person, that's not good either, but it's better. Now, if the two of you work together harmoniously, the two of you are understanding each other and peaceful with one another, then you can be who you are. But you cannot be who you are if you don't know who the other one is. Or, better, if you don't know who you are. Now, if you don't know who you are, you'll never be it. You'll make all sorts of parades and shows. There are a lot of politicians. They get into politics. They want to tell people how to run their lives and how to run their government and how to run their world. And these people can't even run their own families. Their own families are a mess. You know, filled with divorce, filled with problems in their family, filled with unhappy. They haven't taken care of their own household first. If they had taken care of their own household first, when you see a politician who's doing a remarkable job, look at his family. And he's got a pretty happy family. He's got a pretty stable foundation from which he works. Or she. There's a lot of women in politics now. And the women have husbands who agree to have their wife be in politics, and they agree to take care of the home or have a nanny or whatever they're going to do, and they can afford to do anything they want to do. But the thing, they agree that she will run the limelight, and it's okay. I mean, if you're the president of the United States and you're a woman, you can't get much higher in the glory of the world, so to speak, you know. And that's lovely. That's lovely. But I read an article in the business magazine, and in the article said, none of the first ladies liked living in the White House. They said it was like living in a zoo. They were always on parade. Their house was always open to the public. They couldn't walk around in their bedroom slippers and stuff like that. And then they had all these official people, guards, and everywhere at every turn of the road. And the rooms weren't theirs to use, just their personal couple of rooms. But the rest of the rooms, they were all filled with paraphernalia that belonged to the White House, that belonged to the presidency, that belonged to not them. And so they became tour guides to their own family and to other people. And none of them liked it. None of them liked it. The women who were the most successful in the White House were the women who were the closest to their husbands and were discussing with their husbands what their husband wanted to do for the nation and what they wanted the husband to do for the nation. So together they formed a wonderful team. And they let the operation of the White House go to all of the people hired to operate it. And they didn't care about it one little bit. It was just a symbol. They were being themselves and having fun. But if the husband would say to the wife, "You are the first lady, the first lady. So you have to run the house. You have to be the first lady of the house." And she says, "Oh, shove it up your nose." She says, "I'm going to be the first lady, but I'm going to be like Eleanor Roosevelt. I'm going to get out and I'm going to do things. I'm going to represent my husband." Of course, her husband couldn't do a lot of things, and that was one reason she did it and could get away with it because he was a very dominant man himself. But she went out and represented, and she was always in the public's eye, always doing great. After his death, she still was with the United Nations and everything else in the world. She was a great first lady. Now, she was a great first lady because she was herself. Not because she was handling a role that was given to her. A position was given to her, the first lady, but that just came with the marriage, you know. But now, what are you going to do? I've talked on these things a little bit, but now what are you going to do? How are you going to look at your life? Are you going to be such a pissy-ass character that you go around saying all of the time, I'm going to do it my way, I'm going to do it my way? Well, go ahead. If you're going to do it your way, go do it your way, but don't do it here. Don't do it at IBM. Don't do it in other places. Because wherever there's a company, wherever there's an organization, wherever there's anything, the organization comes first. And you are there to help carry on the organization and do your own thing. But you have a time slot in there. The organizations that are the best organizations have a TT. And they have this TT very powerfully available to all of their top echelon people. This TT is something that's available for hours, for minutes, for a week, more. But this TT is what they all participate in as they wish. And how successful they are in that organization is how successfully they run their TT. Now, I suppose you'd like to know what the TT means.
Think tank.
Yeah. How successfully they run their think tank. How are you listening within yourself to your think tank to figure out what you really want to do? And then you go about carrying it out. In every organization, the great leaders of that organization have time to think for themselves. They tell their secretary, I'm not available for the next 2 hours. Oh, you're going to take a nap, huh? Oh, you're going to go off and play golf. Oh, you're going to do it. Never, never would a secretary ask any such stupid question or think. It's not the secretary's business to know what the boss is doing. It's the secretary's business to run the outer office for the boss so that he can disappear for a week, a day, an hour or two. And no one questions it because she doesn't question it. She says, he's not available. He will not be available for 2 days, you know. Oh, where is he going? Is someone died or something, you know? Everyone wants to know. Stick their nose in somebody else's business. And the secretary is so wise. She says, I don't know. And she really doesn't. I don't know what he's doing. He's behind his locked door. He's got a private entrance. He can come and go as he wishes. I have no idea what he's doing. And it's not my business. And if I knew, and I told you, I wouldn't be a secretary very long. No, I keep my nose out of that. If he wants me to know something, I'm aware, and I am sharp, and I'm alert. And if he doesn't, then he doesn't. Now, she says, I'm telling him, I'm taking an early lunch because my daughter came in from the city, and we're going to do this and that and the other thing. And he said to me, take the whole afternoon off. You deserve it. And have a temp come in and take care of your activity there. But a temp can't do it. You're right. You're right. Who can do it? Well, let's just close the office. And you go your way and I'll go my way. And then I come back tomorrow morning and we're all set. Hey, that's smart. You can tell everybody, I'm on the golf links this afternoon. And people will say, oh, it's about you deserve to be on the golf links. And they won't think a thing about it. And actually, he's in the office in private time with his TT. He's with his think tank and he's doing great things. But you see, this is someone dedicated to their work, dedicated to their business. Now that secretary, she's worth a mint. She's worth almost as much as the boss is getting. But what does she do? She takes what she earns and has agreed to take as a salary and is the finest secretary anyone could ever have. She is better than better. She's better than the best. And she doesn't think she's not being paid enough. She is so good, so fabulous. Everybody around her says, you know, she should get more money. She should get more money. But they don't think that. They say to her, hey, you know, you should have more money. And she says, would you like to know something, nosy? I receive a salary that's about two-thirds of what my boss gets, because I do a great deal of work. And I receive dividends on the company stock, which is equal to my total salary.
Wow.
And I have this and I have that. And you do? No, I don't. If I did, I certainly wouldn't tell you. But I thought I'd shake your boat a little bit, you know? Because right away, you believed it. Right away. And now you're going to go around telling everybody right away what this is. And it's not true. I'm just pulling your leg. Now, if you go around telling this to people, people will think, she's cuckoo upstairs. You know, you, not me. Because they know whatever I'm doing, I'm doing, and I'm doing it well. And my boss likes what I'm doing. I like what I'm doing. And I can take time off when I want. And it's no big deal. And I take my time off when my boss is away, and I don't need to be there. And I can have all the telephone calls switched over to my cell phone wherever I am. And Barnes and Nobles, you know, may I help you? Yes, I would like to place an order. I can write it down. And I don't have to be in the office for these telephone calls because that's not my business. But, of course, I don't take orders on the telephone. But the thing is, I am master of myself. I know what I want to do. I know where I want to go. Now, Ingeborg, what is your next step? And use your creative imagination. Don't be a stick in the mud. What's your next step about your goal? Now, you are thinking of ordering a wheelchair. You're thinking of of having your oxygen. You're thinking of having this and that and the other thing. Now, what is your next step?
To have nothing.
No. Your next step is not needing it.
Right.
Period. Not nothing. Because nothing might mean that you don't have what you need. You follow me?
Yes.
You don't need it.
No.
All right. Your next step is, I don't need these extra things because I live in my
ideal.
You can say the whole thing too. My ideal spirit, mind, and body. Now, is that a good step?
Yes.
And then, now that you're chipper, 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 feeling so great, what are you going to do with your chipper, chipper, chipperness and feeling so greatness? Are you going to get back into the mailroom? Are you going to get back into doing this thing? Are you going to start writing some articles? Are you going to start using your mind in a creative, dynamic fashion that only you can do?
Yes.
Well, what are you wasting time for? Say, I'm independent of these things. I'm holding per. I don't need them. Now, I'm going to give you some track shoes. And what do you say to me? I don't need track shoes. I don't need shoes to run track with.
No,
you see, you just say, I don't need them. But you say to me,
Thank you.
I'll take some ballet slippers. You know? You know, I don't need track shoes. I'll take. Be definite. Know where you're going. Know what you want to do. And when you know what you want to do, that's the best way to get there.
Yes.
Now, Ellen, what do you want to do? What is your game? How long are you going to be playing that you don't like the way you look?
Oh.
Ah. If you like the way you look, that's the way everyone sees you. If you don't like the way you look, everyone sees your flaws. Now, do you have any flaws?
No.
All right. Then why are you pretending? Now, I'm saying this to push your buttons.
Right.
Now, what do you do? What is your goal for yourself? I live in my
ideal spirit, mind, and body.
Now.
Yes.
All right. Do you have your nose in the business of what the dogs and the cats are doing in the middle of our lectures here and things like that?
No.
All right. Do you know what the Border Patrol is doing as they're driving by and Rex is upset about them?
No.
No, no, no. What is your attention on?
On the talk.
On what we're sharing. On the talk. Now, if ever you allow yourself to be distracted, you're dead. You start at base one. We've done that before, haven't we?
Mm-hmm.
You start at base one when you allow yourself to be distracted, when you allow yourself to do anything that takes you away from your pure, perfect goal for yourself. You follow me?
Yeah.
Now, Sylvia, what about you? Where do you stand on this program? Do you know what you really want to do, what you really turns you on, what makes you the happiest girl in the world, what fulfills you and still allows you to carry on the responsibilities? You see, you got to have a place to live. You got to have food to eat. You got to have clothes to wear. You got to have And now, how can you have this when you're going against it? When you're saying, I don't want this and I don't want that, and you're, you see, right now, you're being a very fine lady, being a caregiver with Ingeborg, and you're caring about Ingeborg's needs and wants and so forth, and you're doing that very nicely. But you think that you're necessary, and that's a very unnecessary thing to do. Never believe that you're necessary for anything in anybody else's life. Now, you, if you see Ingeborg, whole and perfect, fabulous, that's what you are. If you see Ingeborg needing anything, then that's what you are. You say, well, when I work with her on her oxygen, when I work with her on her program that she has, when I do this, no. You don't see her needing it. You see her enjoying it.
Mm-hmm.
You see her participating in it because it's a delight in her heart. And you see, but if you think she needs it, then you need it. If you think anybody needs it, if you think that your family needs you, they've gotten along just fine without you for the last 100,000 years. And the thing is, do you enjoy your family?
Yes.
Okay, that's enough. But not need. When you need, then you're out of business. When that secretary needed her boss, if her boss died, or if he fired her or something, or if she went off to get another job, she'd get a job even better, with even more time to herself. You know? Because she's so brilliant, she's so sharp, she's so capable, she doesn't think anybody needs her or that she needs anything. She just likes herself and likes everything she does. Now, can you do that?
Yeah.
Now, when are you going to start doing it?
Now. It's already done.
It's already done. Now, remember that. Remember that it's already done because there's no other time than right now for doing all the things you want to do. Now, Ingeborg, do you need anything?
No help.
That's great. Ingeborg, are you a happy girl?
Yes, I am.
Ingeborg, are you getting yourself back in order again and exercising and feeling fantastic?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Well, all of you, now is the acceptable time for you to do that. And you're looking for your higher program. And your higher program is not on the mundane, but as on the what?
Internal.
Higher purpose.
On the higher purpose. The higher purpose is to be yourself and have fun. Now, that doesn't sound very high, but that's the highest purpose in the world. This day, claim it, name it, enjoy it, be it, and know that that's the reality. And if you take it and use it and name it and live it, you'll have the happiest life you could ever dream of. And live in the now. Forget yesterday. Forget what happened a minute ago. Live in the now as the most glorious being you're able to be. So, with that, I will say, I love you. I love you. I love you.
I love you.
And we usually have a little music, but not right now.